First we'll do a sicha from Shabbos Parshas Vayechi and Asar V'Teves Tav Shinun Aleph. This was a sicha that came, as you noticed at the time, this was during the Persian Gulf War. Asar V'Teves Tav Shinun Aleph. You know the war ended on Purim, so this was when the war already started. And at that time there was somebody in Israel, which you won't mention the name, but he came out very strongly speaking about the Persian Gulf War and basically saying something that the Rebbe said later one shouldn't even bring out of his mouth, but he was saying that Chas v'Shalom, Rahman al-Islam, this is going to lead to another Holocaust. And he described how the Eibishter keeps account of all the Yidden's Averis. And then it comes to, Hashem is quite tolerant, and then it comes to a point where he can no longer contain himself, and then he lashes out with one Holocaust, waits a few more years, makes another count, and then again it accumulates, and Rahman al-Islam another Holocaust. So he made a cheshbon that now we're up to another one. That's where he spoke. And this sikha is a very long sikha, a lot of details. The Rebbe came out very, very strongly against it, against how could he bring out of his mouth such things. And that was the same time that the Rebbe was saying the exact opposite, that Yiz Mangulaschem, they were actually going to see great miracles. And as we know, that there were people here in America that came by the Rebbe for dollars, raising the question, should I go to Israel, should I not go to Israel? And the Rebbe encouraged everyone to go. In fact, I remember one woman who said that she left from there, or she doesn't want to go there. And the Rebbe said, so you're going to miss out on all the miracles. And the Rebbe predicted the miracles, and that's like what we saw, that there were big miracles, which the Rebbe said they're part of the Aren and Eflois that are preparing the world for Geula. So we're going to learn the first part of the Sicha, and then it'll be time we'll also learn a part of the Sicha, Vayichi Tav Shin Nun Aleph. Seeing the Chesim Sefer Breishis, at the end of Sefer Breishis, which is the first Sefer of the Torah, once we finish, everyone shouts out, Chazak, Chazak, Beniz Chazek. That's the Minig Yisrael that you say by every Sefer, starting with Breishis. And this alludes to the fact that Yidden need chizuk, they need to be reinforced and strengthened and to be encouraged in all their inyanim. And here, this is in Parshas Vayichi, Vayichi Yaakov. So that explains what we can see more and more insight into this. In reference to Vayichi Yaakov, we find something which is more than what we find by Avram and by Yitzchak. As it says in Gemara, the famous Gemara in Tainus, Yaakov Avinu Loi Mes. And then the Gemara asks, if Yaakov never passed away, then V'chibichdi Sobdu Sobdunayu, V'chantu Chantayu, V'kovru Kovrayu. So why did they eulogize him? And why did they embalm him? And why did they bury him? Doesn't that prove that there was a passing? And the answer is Mikra Nidairish. I am not, it really doesn't matter to me what you saw and what they did. I just know what it says in the Pasuk. It says, Valtira Ata Altira Abdi Yaakov, Num Hashem. Hashem speaks and says, don't be afraid. Valtechas Yisrael, Yidden have nothing to fear. Ki hinini meshiacha mirochek, Hashem says, I will bring you your salvation from far. Vezaracha meret shivyam, and for your children from the land where they're held captive. And from this we see Makish Hul Azari. The Pasuk compares Yaakov Avinu to his children. And therefore, Ma Zari Bachayim Afu Bachayim. Just like his children are alive, he's also alive. So Vayichi Yaakov means Chai Hul Olam. Yaakov lives forever. So therefore, in this Pasha, when it says Vayichi Yaakov, this is more than Avram's Vayichi and Yitzchak's Vayichi. Because by Yaakov, we see explicitly where it says Yaakov Avinu Loi Mes, he lives forever. It's interesting, this whole thing when we say that Rebbe is alive. Someone just recently showed me a sefer, which is actually written by not a chassid, a misnagid. The name of the sefer is Tzitz Eliezer, and he brings down what someone once said in reference to Yaakov Avinu Lo Emes. And he basically says what every normal frum Jew should say, but here it's written out very explicit. How normally people trust what they see more than anything else. He uses an example. Imagine if you see someone, but when you hear the person speak, it's not his voice, it's someone else's voice. You wouldn't have any doubts that this is the person. What about the voice is different? So the voice is different, but if your eyes see this person, you know that this is him. But then he says, when the Torah says Yaakov lo mes, that Yaakov did not die and he's alive, so it makes no difference what your eyes see, that you see that he was buried and you see that he was embalmed and you see all these things were done, because as far as we're concerned, the Torah defines our reality, not what our eyes see. And if the Torah says one thing and our eyes say another thing, in this case, we follow Torah, not our eyes. And he goes on to say how this is the way a Yid lives and what a Yid trusts. And basically, people raise this question about how could you say that about Gimel Tammuz, our answer is, this is not what we're saying, this is the Gemara says, Yaakov Avinu Lo Emes, and every Yid who is a God-fearing Jew and believes in Torah, defines reality the way the Torah says it. So the Gemara says that Yaakov lo mes chai hu la'ilam. In fact, the Rebbe brings down from Rashi that Rashi adds that the Egyptians who did what they did is because to them it appeared as if he died, but in reality lo mes. Bekev and shechazal lomdu she Yaakov avinu lo mes. Being that Chazal tell us Yaakov lo mes. And we know this from the pasuk that Yaakov is compared to his children, Mazari b'chayim avu b'chayim, and not from the pasuk in our parsha. In our parsha, Vayichi, is a pasuk in reference to Yaakov himself. It says, Vayigva vayesev elamav, that Yaakov Avinu was gathered to his nations. And Rashi says, Misalay nemra, doesn't say explicitly the words that he died. And Rashi in our parsha says, from this we learn that Yaakov lo mes. But nevertheless, the Gemara doesn't learn it and doesn't derive it from this pasuk. The Gemara derives it from another pasuk, from the pasuk that Yaakov is compared to Zara. So the Rebbe is making a very powerful point here, that if we know and we derive this principle that Yaakov lo mes because it's be compared to Zara, it also means another thing. Muvan she'inyin de'vayichi Yaakov lo mes toloi b'zara. If that's the case, it also means that to a certain extent, Yaakov's continuation to live depends on Zare. In other words, it's not just we learn it from this pasuk, and it's left with that, but that continuously Yaakov Avinu's continuous life depends on his children. That the more there is Zare b'chayim, then he's b'chayim, and if Chas v'Shalom Zare is not b'chayim, then he's not b'chayim. Why is this written by Yaakov, not by Avram, not by Yitzhak? After all, they were also the tzaddikim or the others. And the answer is because once we say that Yaakov lo mes comes as a result of the fact that his children continue to live, this point that the children continue to live is more applicable to Yaakov than the other two of us. Shaykh by Yaakov, because by Yaakov it's more b'shleimus. Because Yaakov's, all his children were following in his footsteps. And Avraham and Yitzchak were different. They had children. One was Yishmael and one was Esau. So therefore, being that hu b'chayim comes as a result of Zare b'chayim, so therefore it's more applicable to Yaakov than Esav, than Yitzhak and Avram who had Esav and Yishmael. Now the Rebbe explains how, but on a deeper level, what's talking the difference between Yaakov and the other two Avos. We know that every one of the three Avos represent a different midah. Avram is Chesed, Yitzhak is Gevura, and Yaakov is, it says, Midos Emes. Titein Emes LeYaakov. So because it says Titein Emes LeYaakov, we know that the definition of Emes is something which penetrates from beginning to end. In other words, Emes, truth, is something which is unconditional, doesn't change, it remains the same under all circumstances. In fact, many times the Rebbe says that the word Emes is made up of three letters, Aleph, Mem, and Sof. Aleph is the first letter of the Aleph Beis, Mem is the middle letter of the Aleph Beis, and Sof is the end of the Aleph Beis. And this is a remez that emes is something which from the beginning, through the middle, to the end, never changes, it always remains the same. So therefore, Davke by Yaakov, which represents emes, and that's the concept of something which is unconditional and always remains the same, consistent. Therefore, we see that Zarei, which means not only his children, but his children's children and all his descendants, Atzev Kaladeiris, Bachayim. In other words, Yaakov is where we see more openly how Yaakov is alive in Olam Hazeh, Afu Bachayim. Now the Rebbe continues to say as follows. According to this, and based on this, this gives tremendous chizuk, tremendous strength to every Yid. How? That at the end of Parshas Bereishis, the end of the first Sefer, and because it's the first, we need the strongest chizuk. What is the total sum of the entire Sefer? What do we say when we come to the end of the Sefer, and a whole Sefer, which Bereishis talks primarily about the life of all the others? In other words, this is telling us that every single one of Yaakov's children, men and women and children, at Seif Kol Aderis, to the end of all time, in all different times of history, in all different conditions of history, all these Yidden are Chayim, they really continue to live. And life, which the Torah defines as life. Atem advekim Hashem alakeichem, chayim kol chamayim. So Yidden continue to live by being attached to Teres Chayim, observing mitzvah which was b'chay b'hem, and because we continue to live true life, therefore Yaakov Avinu also continues to live true life. So the Rebbe is saying this is tremendous chizik to every Yid, that the Torah testifies that every Yid is in a status and classified as chay. However, there's room to raise a question. We do find, if you look back in history, in all generations, and we can also find it in our generation, there are other Yidden that are not that way. You don't see openly that they conduct themselves according to Torah mitzvahs, b'chaya yom yom, which is the true definition of life. As the Rebbe said before, atem advekim b'Hashem alakeichem chayim kol chamayim. So how could we say just this blanket statement that all Yidden, all Zarei are b'chayim? So the answer is Mufurish B'divrei Gemara. If you look into the Gemara, you'll find the answer. Why? First, the Gemara asks the question, when the Gemara says Yaakov Avinu Lo Emes, the Gemara raises a question. But didn't you see that he was buried? Didn't you see with your eyes that he went through a process which is the opposite of life? In other words, the Gemara is asking, how could you say Lo Emes, but in actuality he passed away? The question which we hear from so many people. And what does the Gemara answer? The Gemara answers, Mikra ani derish. I'm not interested in anything else except for what Torah says. And the Torah says, Hine Mashiacha, that Ma Zarei B'chaim Afu B'chaim. In other words, being that the Torah says so, that is emes. And the fact that Chantu Chantayu, this is Nidmolem Shemes Avochayu. These are Rashi's words. In fact, there's another sikh where the Rebbe brings this Rashi, Nidmolem Shemes, it only appeared to them that he passed away, if he was alive. The Rebbe has the word that from this we see that Rashi's opinion is that Yaakov Avinu remained alive, beguf, begashmius. It's not a metaphor, it's not just very strong words, but it means that begashmius, he continues to live. We can say we don't understand it, we don't understand how, we don't understand what kind of life this is. That's what we don't understand. But the fact that Yaakov never went through the process of Hepech HaChayim, that's definite. So the Gemara is basically telling us we don't go by what our eyes see, we go by the way Torah defines reality. So just like this applies to Yaakov himself, the same principle applies to Yaakov's children. Being that the Pasuk states and the Torah testifies that the Maimed, the Matzev of Bnei Yisrael b'chol ha'deiros, that all Yidden in all generations, including this final generations which the Pasuk is talking about, that Hashem says, I'll take you back and return you from captivity. It's Zarei B'chayim. Certainly this is the emes. And if there are those that argue, but we see Yidden that are not observing Torah mitzvahs, so the answer is just the same. The fact that you see that they're chas v'shalom cut off from real life, it only appears that way to you. But the Torah says, and the Torah defines the real truth. And the reality is that even these Yidden are also b'chayim. The Rebbe soon explained how could we say that. The Rebbe goes a step further. Being that we say Ma Zare b'chayim Avhu b'chayim, that the basis that Yaakov continues to live is because his children continue to live. So those people that argue and they want to establish that Chas v'Shalom, his children are not alive, they don't have Chayim, they're not only affecting Yaakov's children and Yidden, but they're actually, in a sense, offending Yaakov himself, and they're saying that Yaakov is lacking in his life. If Yaakov's b'chayim depends on our b'chayim, so someone comes along and tries to disqualify the chayim of every yid, in essence they're disqualifying Yaakov's life. How could we explain it though? So the answer is that in every maimed the matzav, in every condition that a yid may be, no matter what, he's always b'chayim, based on what Chazal say, Yisrael afa pi shechoto Yisrael hu. And how the Rambam explains that when a person does something which is against Torah, it's because his Yetzer Hara was able to overcome him, and the Yetzer Hara forced him, in a sense, to do something against his real, true inner will, because every year, deeply inside, really wants to do what Hashem wants him to do. In other words, when you see a yid conducting himself, it's only external. It's the Yetzer Hara forcing him to act that way. But in truth, his true ratzon is to do what Hashem wants. And that's why, regardless of what you see on the outside, Yisrael hu. And he's still connected to Torah, like it says, Torah tziva lanu meisha merasha kilus Yaakov. That Torah is an inheritance. One of the principles that apply to an inheritance is that inheritance belongs to that child, whoever's inheriting, regardless of what his condition is. If only this is a child and this is the father, then they inherit regardless of what level he's at, regardless of the way he acts and what he does. The same with the yid. Every yid has Torah because they're Merosha Kehilas Yaakov. Gimel. This is also hinted to us, the Rebbe says, at the end of the parsha. At the end of the parsha, Vayichi, it says, Vayosam, Vayisam, Ba'orim, B'mitzrayim. That Yosef was put into an Oren. Atzmos Yosef, the bones of Yosef. The Rebbe brings the pasuk that it says that Moshe Rabbeinu took Atzmos Yosef because there was an oath that when the Yidden will go out of Mitzrayim, they were obligated by an oath from Yosef that they should take him out of Mitzrayim with them. So the word in Hebrew is Atzmos Yosef, which means the bones of Yosef. The Rebbe explains that Atzmos also comes from the Lashon Etzem, the essence. And Yosef is also the name of Klal Yisrael. All the Yidden are called Yosef. As it's written in the Pasuk, Noyeh Katzein Yosef, that Eibishter leads Klal Yisrael like sheep. So we see Klal Yisrael is called Yosef. So that's what this means. That even when Yidden are in Mitzrayim, in other words, even they're in condition of distress, and they're in Golus, and not only Golus by nations, but Golus by the person's own Yetzer Hara, even in that time, the Atzmos Yosef, the bones, in other words, the Etzem of a Yid, is Bishlemus. And it's Be'aron means like something which is locked into a box. And when it's locked into a box, nothing can get to it, and nothing could damage it, nothing could affect it. So the Rebbe is turning around these words at the end of the parsha, which appear to be as if it's something negative. This is talking about Yosef, passed away. The Rebbe is saying it's alluding to the fact that the essence of every yid is protected, and no one could get to it. No one could do any damage to it. Also, Chazal tell us that when the Yidden were traveling in the desert, there were two aronos. They were walking with two boxes. One was the aron that had the luchos in it, and the other one was the aron of Yosef. The body of Yosef was there. So the remez is that a yid and the etzem of yid is always connected to Torah. And not only Torah, but in the Aron, the Torah was there, the luchas. As we know, the luchas is where the words of Torah are engraved in stone. And we know that the Rebbe speaks about this in many sikhs, the difference between a sefer Torah, where the letters are written on parchment, versus the luchas, where the letters are engraved in the stone, is that letters on parchment can be separated from the parchment. But letters that are engraved in the stone are inseparable. And the remez here is that a yid's connection to Hashem and his connection to Torah is like letters that are engraved in a stone. So that's why they were walking through the desert. On one hand, in this Aron was Yosef, his body, which represents Klal Yisrael. And the other Aron was the Luchas, indicating that the etzim of a yid is always connected to Torah. So now the Rebbe concludes. From all this, we learn a lesson of how we have to reinforce and strengthen Yidden in the time of Golus. That's a time where Yidden need Chazak, Chazak, Benis Chazek. So the Yidden strength in the time of Golus is by announcing, by Yechi Yaakov, Yaakov Avinu Leimes, by saying that Yaakov is alive. And Ma Zareh B'chayim, Avhu B'chayim, that gives the Yidden the strength. In other words, by doing that, you're announcing and making it known the true mile of every yid. What you're saying is that every yid in essence and in reality is alive. This gives the yid strength, this will reinforce him, and this will be instrumental that his true mile should come out. In general, it says in Chassidus that when you tell someone what their milas are, when you compliment, I mean, this, we find this in a much higher level, but there's a story in the Zohar, it's written in the Zohar where the Talmidim, Rav Shimon bar Yochai, were praising him. They called him Shabbos, and they called him this, and different names, which on the surface seems so strange that Talmidim are talking to him and giving him all these compliments. Rav Shimon bar Yochai was a tzaddik, not only a tzaddik, but a tzaddik gomer, which means there was absolutely no sense of self, of ego, of yeshus, totally bittul. He didn't need this, so why was there such a thing? And there are many maimonim that go in to explain it, and the basic point is that people have certain qualities, certain talents that they possess, but it's in the subconscious, it's hidden. And it has to be developed. And sometimes there are things that are there in a very deep way, and the person himself has no access to it, has no way of bringing it out. So when other people talk about it, and talk about the mile that this person possesses, about this person's potential, talking about it in itself brings it out. I mean, we find this in the reverse as well. One of the reasons that are given in Chassidus regarding Lashon Hara, why Lashon Hara is a negative thing, one of the reasons that are given is that when you talk about another person's negative character traits, it's not just words. These words actually activate that negative character trait to surface and to develop and to be reinforced and become stronger. So you become responsible for that person acting in a negative way. And Allah is kava v'kama in a positive, that if a person has a positive character trait and you talk about their mila, that brings out that mila in a more open way. I mean, this is also one of the inyanim of a melech. One of the inyanim which is connected to the idea of yechi is that when you speak about the fact that the melech is a melech, or you speak about the fact that Mashiach is Mashiach, that itself, that you speak about this mila, brings it out in a more open way. So here, the same principle applies, that when you talk about the mila of a yidn, and you talk about the fact that a yidn, no matter what you see on the outside, deep inside, this yid is connected to Torah, connected to mitzvahs, loves Hashem, and in essence is totally alive, speaking about it actually brings it up to the surface. Lumazais, on the other hand, the opposite is also true. When you talk about the chisaron of yidn, those yidn that up until this point are not observing Torah mitzvahs, and not only you talk about their faults, but yet you threaten them, and you you put fear into their hearts and you threaten them with, God forbid, terrible punishments, how you they see, not only this doesn't give chizuk, this doesn't encourage you to do Torah mitzvahs, adrabe, this weakens them. And this brings them down. And this makes them more distant from tshuva, from Torah, from mitzvahs, as we see it explicitly in our generation, that the derech hayichida, the one and only way to bring Yidden closer to Yiddishkeit and to closer to Avin Sheba Shemayim, is only rebuke b'darki noyim b'darki shalom. And doing it mitzad Abbas Yisroel, showing every Yid how much you love them, and only that will bring out the positive in them. And there's an interesting footnote here, number 46, where the Rebbe brings from the Kedushas Levi. Kedushas Levi is Rabbi Lev Yitzchak Bardichev, which we all know that he was known for this, that he was the one who always defended Klal Yisrael, always found the good and the positive in every situation. In fact, to such an extent that it's brought down, and I think the Rebbe also mentioned this, that sometimes just mentioning his name, just saying the word Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, that in itself is already a schus for Yidden. So the Kedushas Levi writes, there's a Gemara where it says, a Medrash, V'maseim shal tzadikim, I'm reading now from footnote 46, V'maseim shal tzadikim chafetz, V'ebishter desires the actions of tzadikim, V'enei chafetz v'maseim shal reshoyim. But he doesn't desire, doesn't want the actions of reshoyim. On the surface, it's a very strange statement. You need the Medrash to tell us that the Eibishter wants the actions of tzaddikim, but doesn't want the evil actions of Rishayim. What's such a earth-shattering idea that's written here? So the Kedushas Levi, Rabbi Lev Yitzchak, explains it in the following way. Remez, this hints to us, al avedas Hashem, those people that serve Hashem by hating and being angry at those that violate Hashem's wish. And one way, it's a good thing, they love Hashem so much that they hate those that go against them. And they're furious at those people that go against them. Nevertheless, the Eibishter wants Maseim Shal Tzadikim, which means he wants you to bring the whole world closer to him, to serve him by speaking to them pleasantly and not through anger. Because the Eibishter's way is through goodness. And the Eibishter wants that everybody should become close to him through goodness. Then he brings another place, also from the Kedushas Levi. There are two possibilities in rebuking someone. One is to rebuke them with good words. In other words, you tell every Yid how great their qualities are, and what their real source is, and who they really are, and the great nachas ruach that they bring the Eibishter when they do mitzvahs. That's one way of rebuking. The other kind of rebuke is when you rebuke them with strong words, with harsh words, and threatening them. The difference is when you rebuke them this way and you bring out their maila, that's the positive way, and that's the proper way that's really suitable for a true leader of Israel. And the one who rebukes Yidden with sharp words and harsh words, that's not the way it should be. So the Rebbe concludes, and especially in our generation, that all those that today are not mekayim Torah mitzvahs are in the category of Taneika Shanishba, which means they're not even at fault, and they're no way responsible for the life that they lead. And like the Rambam writes how there are people who are against the written Torah, they only believe in the written Torah, not in the oral Torah, the tzedukim, and now they have to be dealt with very harshly. Then the Rambam said, these are these people. What about their children and their students? B'nei HaTayim Elu, these people, and the children's children, their fathers misled them. And they were born in such a way to begin with. They have a din of Tinik Shanishba. Tinik Shanishba means when a Jew is, God forbid, held captive by a non-Jew, he grows up in a non-Jewish home, knows nothing about Yiddishkeit, was never told about Yiddishkeit, he's absolutely not responsible for absolutely nothing, and anything that he violates, he's not responsible for, it's not his fault. That's the way these Yidden, even though they grew up amongst Yidden, But because they were raised with the wrong kind of education, they're totally not responsible for their actions. And the Rambam writes, even if they later heard and they saw Yidden, and they saw what true Torah mitzvah is all about, but they were raised not to consider that, so that doesn't mean anything. And therefore the Rambam concludes, everyone should try to bring them back to tshuva, and to bring them closer with words of shalom, until they go back to Torah and to Yiddishkeit.